to it. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, praise you, love you, honor you, and appreciate you. Thank you for all that you are, all that you mean. God, we ask that you would bless and illuminate this preaching moment. God, touch it from the top to the bottom. God, bless every aspect of this service. And we do give you praise, and we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. Amen. Come on, let's get ready for our confessions this morning. Confessing over the word of God. Get your Bibles in your hands and repeating after me. This is my Bible. Oh, I like that. Say it one more time. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe the Lord is going to feed you, go ahead and make some noise this morning. Amen. And let's say it one more time. Let's say it, and I'll put it up one more time as we move into the ministry of the word. Happy Father's Day. And so on Mother's Day, we talked from the title Godly Mothers. And so today we're going to talk from the title Godly Fathers. So going from godly mothers to godly fathers. And just like I told the men on Mother's Day, I'll tell the women on Father's Day, don't check out because we're talking about fathers, because there's stuff that you can learn that will be imparted to you today. On last week, I shared with you that my goal is not just impartation and information, but I want you to have revelation. And so I mix the impartation and the information, and I teach a lot so that you have revelation for your life. And hopefully the revelation will bring you some inspiration. So we're talking about godly fathers. Let's look up what Oxford Dictionary. Let's look up what it says about fathers. It says this. It says, father, number one, is a man in relation to his child or children. That's the most basic definition of father, is just a man who is a donor of the seed that causes someone to be alive. That's the most basic. But let's go beyond that, because we want to go beyond just being people who produce a child. Because a lot of people can do the producing, but they can't stick around. So let's go back to what it shares. It says this, a man who gives care and protection to someone or something. That's going beyond just having the seed, but actually preserving and protecting. That's what takes someone from a father to a daddy, because a daddy protects and takes care of and nurtures and adds something to the conversation. Let's go even further. This is even deeper. It says the oldest or most respected member of a society or a body. What I love about the church is sometimes men were not good men because they were in the streets. They were doing all kinds of things, chasing women, pimping, doing dope, whatever. But about 55, 60, God arrests them and touched their life. And then at 70, they have people in the church that call them deacon and call them father and treat them well because God has cleaned up their life. So sometimes sometimes it's not so much what you did while you were at fathering age. It's what you've done later on in life and you become a father. So if you blew it with your own children, don't throw in the towel. There's still somebody in the community that you can stand up for, step up for, and be a father. We need fathers of all ages. And sometimes it's too late to go back and fix what you did. You were sowing your wild oats back then. You thought you was having fun. But any of the old men that I dealt with, a lot of them would tell you, I would have traded it all in to have good relationship with my children now. Well, if you're in the house of God, there's plenty of children that you can be. So decide to be a respected member of a society or a body. And then here's another one that I want to add. Be the source or originator of something. Be the source. Be the lifeblood behind something. And this goes to young men who are not fathers yet, but you have the potential of a father on the inside. You got to learn how to be the source and the originator. Stop letting the women do everything. There's an old saying, the reason why our women do so much is because sometimes the men do so little. So learn how to step up and be the source and the originator. Don't always wait for the woman to fix it. Step up, stand up. Whether or not you are a daddy or not, if you're a man, you have the potential to be a father. You've got something down on the inside, and step up to the plate. Somebody say this, say step up to the plate. Step up to the plate. All right, we're going to go to 1 Kings 2. We're going to take much of what we do from 1 Kings chapter 2, and then we'll tag something in later as the conclusion. And so I want to have Mother Mitchell read that first verse.
When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying.
So put this up. This is how we're going to lay it out. 6 fatherhood lessons from the transition of David to Solomon. David was a great person in the scriptures, great warrior, becoming a great king. He was a great worshiper. And then Solomon became great in his wisdom. But there was a transition from David to Solomon. And let me pause. And first of all, let me thank you for your prayers for me. And then I'll add something that connects to this. On Saturday morning, I actually started around Friday. I didn't feel the greatest, and not in my body, just emotionally. And then it just dawned on me, oh, my daddy's not here. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And so it was like, you, those of us who deal with grief, you just don't never know how it's going to come, when it's going to come. And so I got to thinking, I was like, oh yeah, it's Father's Day weekend. I'm feeling a little icky. And I will say, as I went to our Father's Day brunch and around the men, my spirit was lifted. And then as I went to Juneteenth, and I got a chance to just sit with a lot of the Deliverance Temple people, it lifted as well. But I believe you guys are praying for me, so I thank you for that. But let me tell you what was a little difficult as I set this up. So David was transitioning to Solomon on his dying deathbed. One of the hard things about what happened with my father, your bishop, is because of COVID, we were not able to be with him. And by the time I actually got to get into the room with him, he was unresponsive. So I did not get what David is doing to Solomon. I didn't get those last conversations. If you ask me, what pains me the most is those last conversations that I thought that I always would have that I did not get. But what has helped me is I remember, and I'm reminded, and I have to remind myself, his life was my conversation. The life that he lived, that's what he taught me. And so David was able to set out and pass things to Solomon. I didn't quite get that, but my father's life did it for me. So as we go through this, think about what it took for David to say what he said to Solomon. The reason why Solomon was so successful is because of this passing on of the legacy. And let me pause and say this to those of you men who are getting older, start thinking about legacy. There's a lot of us that are old and we still don't have a will. There's a lot of us as old, we still don't have enough insurance to get buried. It's time after that. Stop buying Jordans and you don't have insurance for your children. We got to think about legacy. And so David, as powerful as he was, he was dying and he thought about legacy and he talked to Solomon. So let's look at the first verse. And then after we do the verses, we'll bring up the point for the sixth lesson. So verse 2.
I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man.
I like what David said to his son. I'm getting ready to go, but you're going to still be here. And one thing I want you to do is I want you to be strong and show yourself a man. I'm tired of jelly back people walking around with britches, calling themselves a man, but they're not really a man. A man is not just in what you say, it's more about what you do. So David said, I'm getting ready to die, but show yourself a man. And as I stand here on Father's Day, I say to the people in the building, as well as to the people online, as well as those who will watch the replay, show yourself a man. And that's going to bring me to my first point. It's going to be a little tough, but let's put up the first point. Point number one, godly fathers know real manhood can only be taught by another man. I love women. And I love mothers, but single mothers on Father's Day, they sometimes want a bunch of shine. I love you for what you've done. I'm sorry he walked out on you, but you can't teach a man how to be a man. There has to be a man somewhere that can pass manhood down to another man. So when David told Solomon, show yourself a man, he's also saying, I've lived a life in front of you to show you what a man look like, because your mama can't show you what a man look like, because your mama don't have the DNA of a man. And that's why we have so much trouble. We don't have enough men showing other folk how to be men. I'm not a hard preacher. I'm a grace preacher, and being a grace preacher, I don't bother people about their orientation. I want God to save and bless everybody. But let me tell you something. If you started off as Susie and now you're Saul, you can't tell me how to be a man. I don't care what science did to make you make the change. I still love you. I'll still pray for you. But you can't teach me how to be a man. It's got to be in the DNA of who you are. And to you mothers, unfortunately, when you don't have a man around, you got to find a man. You got to find a coach. You got to find a teacher. You got to find a principal. You got to find a pastor. And that's why men who are Christians, you can't say them not my kids. No, they all your kids, because they've got to be shown how to be a man. All right, so I appreciate that my daddy taught me how to be a man. Now, I have boys and I have a girl, and we're not talking about a man pouring into a girl right now. We're talking about the men's side, but let me say this again. Let me say this to everybody. So there are some no good men, and what no good men are looking for when they want to take advantage of a girl, they're looking for a girl that don't have a relationship with a daddy. Because if you got daddy issues, I can play you real good. So man, teach your men how to be men, but also teach your girls what a real man looks like. Show it, model it. It ought to be seen. I understand that we're human and you like your girl and you like 6-7 other girls, but don't be mad at the man who treats your daughter bad if you've been treating other folks' daughters bad. Cause you reap what you sow. So you gotta remember that's somebody's mama, that's somebody's daughter, that's somebody's girl. So sometimes the best thing you can do for a crazy man is allow them to have a girl. It switches the way they act. It switches the way they think. Because here's the thing. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. But mess with my baby girl. It's a different story. Me and Brother Will were talking about an incident that happened that we know about. A Christian that didn't quite do the Christian thing. It's because somebody messed with this baby girl. Me and Will are saying, we understand we would do the same thing. Because it's some folk you just can't mess with. They belong to me. Deliver me from a man that can watch people go through and turn them back. That turn their back. You're not a real man. Give me a man that will stand up. Now listen. Y'all can look at me. I ain't the strongest man. I ain't the biggest man. I'm not the most muscular man, but I'll fight tooth and nail if you mess with my folk. All right. 1 Kings 2:3. Let's keep on going.
And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn.
David put a whole lot there in that statement. Let's go to number 2 and go ahead and give us what that is. Godly fathers, go ahead and bring it up in the back. Number 2, godly fathers know to tell their children that following God is the only way to real prosperity. And so what David said, I need you to walk after God. I need you to follow God. I need you to walk in his ways and walk in his statutes, and he will prosper you. He will touch you. The problem we have with some men in our community is some ugly, raggedy man. And when I say ugly, raggedy, I'm not talking about the way they look. I'm talking about in their spirit. Told some of our men, if you want to get ahead, you got to sell a little dope on the side. You got to just keep your little cocaine in your car so you can sell it. They're teaching the wrong thing. How is it that the wrong people speak the loudest and the right people won't say anything? No, get a job. Let me tell you, no, get a job. Don't sell no dope on the side, because the only way to have real prosperity is you got to follow God. Yeah. Well, the other people have more flashier stuff. But let me tell you something. Everything that's flashy don't last. Everything that's flashy is not good. I may not have it as quick as you, but I got it honest. And so I enjoy mine. And so when I see the cherries and berries, what's the cherries and berries? That's the red and blue lights. When I see the red and blue lights, I assume they're not coming for me, because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. If I'm not speeding, I automatically know they're not coming for me. And those of you who want a man, watch how he acts when the cherries and berries show up. When they get the nervous and fidgety, they're doing something that's not aligning with God's will. I'm not here to talk about them, not here to judge them, but let me let you know there's only one way to real prosperity, and that's following G-O-D. God is the only one that can make a 2-piece fish dinner feed 5,000. Real prosperity comes from God. I don't have a whole lot, but I've been able to do a whole lot and go a whole lot, because when God blesses, when he puts his super on my natural, he'll stretch some stuff. My children have been in Canada. They have been in America. They have been in Mexico. And daddy provided, because I'm looking to my heavenly father to help me provide and stand up for them. I don't need to sell dope. I don't need to hustle and scheme. I don't need to lie. All I need is me and my B-I-B-L-E. And God will bless me. I drive new cars because of God. I got some homes because of God. I vacation because of God. Don't let somebody fool you that God is not the best way to go. He's the best way to go. Well, does that mean everybody is saved gonna be a millionaire? No, it don't. It don't. But there's some millionaires that would trade places with some broke folk, because the broke folk got God. They're broke by the world standards, but they're not broke by God's standards. Have you ever seen somebody that has less than you but got more peace than you do? See, when I was in Haiti and I was walking around in Haiti with houses with straws up there, not roof, not metal, not what we have up there, not shingles, talking about straw. No air condition, no heat, and it was hot there. But I'm looking at people with smiles on their face. They're going to this well and they're washing their clothes at the well. They're getting water to bring it back to the house. There was no faucet to turn on, but they had smiles on their face. And it made me ashamed of my American ease in life. If they can smile, what am I fussing about? What they understood is they had God. And as long as I got God, I'm going to be all right. Never forget, we took popsicle sticks there, and we took popsicle sticks and glued them together to make a cross. You would have thought we was given Game Boys and PlayStations and Nintendo Switches, the way they was lining up, happy for a cross. And I said, God, forgive me for complaining. Forgive me with clothes on my back, new shoes on my feet, clothes in my closet I haven't wore, and I can't. Praise the Lord. God, I thank you for being there for me. Some of us, all you got to do is go overseas and you'll find out you got it better than what you think you do. Oh, those of us who've gone on cruises and you get off on a cruise excursion, oh, it's fun to hit the city, but look at the city for a little while. And you see how people look. You see how life is. The only thing that really satisfies is God. And let me add this, only what you do for Christ will last. Oh, I didn't mean to say this, but ask P. Diddy. With all the stuff that he had, all the things he was able to do, he would trade it in for God being on his life so he wouldn't have to live out some of that stuff. Here's the thing, not all those people are bad people, but when they get in these situations where the demonic forces are there, R. Kelly wasn't a bad person, had a gift, but when they get around them demonic forces, if you ask them, they trade the money in for a touch of God. So, since you got God, don't give up God to chase money. I want God and I want the blessing as well. All right, let's go on to verse 4.
That the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.
All right, this is number 3, halfway through the 6. Number 3 says, God the fathers know their real legacy is based on what their kids do after them. So they stay focused on the next generation. That there are some fathers who decided to be broke so that their kids wouldn't have to be broke, because they're looking at the next generation. And that's very important. You don't want to have a man that only thinks about him and only thinks about when he's living, but a real man thinks about generations down the line. And so that's one thing I'm grateful for my father. He could have had more. He could have done more. Let me be honest. He was actually too big for Muncie, Indiana. He could have had a bigger ministry, but he was looking at the generations. He was trying to touch generations. And I'm part of the generation, but so are you. He didn't just care about people who had Mitchell as their last name. He poured into hearts that would go beyond just the last name. And so places I go, things that I do, there was somebody on my job that's new there. They retired from another place and now they're working, finishing a few more years at General Motors. And I was walking by, I nodded at them. As I got past them, they said, Mitchell, I know they don't really know who I am, but they can see my face and say, I know who you belong to. I know who you come from. So they asked me how I was doing, and they were talking to me. I didn't know him from beans to apple butter, but the way they were talking, my daddy had made an impact in his life. And so the fact that I was doing well made him smile, because he's saying, your daddy would be proud. Here's the thing. You ought to make your bishop proud, even though he's gone on. The way you live, he lived for the next generation. Your grandkids ought to be better because you live. Your children ought to be better because you live. Your great grandchildren ought to be better because you live. Your community ought to be better because you live. What are you doing to affect the community? Or do all you care about is rolling your next blunt? Oh, pastor, there you go. I didn't say you was going to hell for it. All I'm saying is, are you affecting the generation the way you need to affect the generation? Now, sometimes the ones rolling the blunt is doing more in the community than the folk in the church. Sometimes. So I'm not trying to dog. All I want to know is, are you doing enough for the next generation? Have you made investments into the next generation? Well, pastor, I can't do what you can do, but can you pray? See, when you see that little baby running in the apartment complex and he's got diaper on and no shirt and the diaper's sagging and you don't know where the mama is, maybe we're in a season where you can't just go and grab the baby because you might get arrested, but you can at least pray. See, because of what's going on, we can't do what we used to do because there's so many men have done so many wrong things. You can't just grab folk and throw them on your lap like we used to. But that don't mean you can't pray. That don't mean you can't turn your plate down for the next generation. That don't mean you can't think, what can I do? What can I invest in? How can I sow into the Boys and Girls Club? How can I sow into the Muncie Children's Museum? How can I sow into this and sow into that? Well, what are you talking about, Andre? I'm talking about all the stuff that I poured into so that the next generation can be better than I am. I'm not just worried about my four and no more. I'm worried about this community being different and being better, because it's not just about me, it's about generations after me. If God tarries his coming and I go on to be with the Lord, will I have made an impact in this earth? All right, let's keep on going. Let's look at 1 Kings 2.
Moreover, you also know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he dealt with the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether.
All right, next verse.
Whom he killed, avenging in time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist and on the sandals on his feet.
Finishing up with verse 6.
Act therefore according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace.
This is what David said to Solomon. Don't let him get away with what he did. Now, some of you may know the story. I won't give you all of it because we've got to move on. But Joab and David were cousins. And Joab was a part of David's army. He was a very important part of David's army. But Joab was a little bit one of those people, leaders, that he was a military leader that would do his own thing sometimes. And he would do what David didn't want him to do. And he killed two men that David didn't want him to kill. And David said to Solomon, remember what Joab did when he was under my rule and reign. Now, everything Joab did wasn't wrong and bad. He did some good stuff, but he did some stuff that David didn't like. And so he said, Solomon, I need you to handle my enemy, because he was an enemy to me. In other words, he put a stain on my kingdom because he was so vengeful. He was so blood oriented. He was a roughneck. Let me put it like that. He was a roughneck, and sometimes he couldn't be reined in. So Solomon, I want you to make sure he don't get away with it. So let's put up number four. I'm gonna tie it in to something important. Godly fathers don't pretend they've conquered all their enemies, but they empower the next generation to fix the job. One thing that bothers me sometimes about church men is when they get in church and act like they have fixed all their issues. They don't have no more trouble, no more struggle. Well, when I came to God, that was all it was. When I walked down to the altar, it fixed everything. Well, let me be honest. Yeah, the altar didn't fix all my stuff. I done gone through some stuff. And here's the thing. I rededicated my life at 18 years old, which sounds amazing. But what that really means is most of my failures happened while I was saved. So I've got some enemies out there that I need dealt with, and I have not been able to fix all of my enemies. So sometimes you have to empower the next generation to do it. And so I was thinking, how can I explain this? And it gave me a story of my father that I think is very important. What I loved about Bishop H. Royce Mitchell was his transparency. I loved how he didn't act like he had it all together. He would tell the truth while he was preaching. But not only would he tell the truth while he was preaching, he would tell the truth behind closed doors. So when I was talking to him about marrying Devin before we got married, I had already proposed to her. First of all, I talked to him before I proposed, and then I talked to her parents before I proposed. I was old school, and so I got permission from my dad, and I got permission from her parents. But later on, as we're getting closer to the wedding, my dad called me over to the church and called me over to the fellowship hall over there. And he asked me to meet with him. I thought we were going to meet about church stuff. And he had me sit in a table across from him. And he pulls out a sheet of paper and he starts writing. And I'm just kind of wondering what we're going to talk about. I'm just sure we're going to talk about biblical stuff. But then he turns the paper over and shoves it to me. And it's a whole bunch of numbers. And then he showed me, he said, Andre, this is the debt that I'm in. These are the credit cards I have. This is the stuff that I still owe. And he says, please don't do what I did. He said, I haven't been good with my money. And this is costing me. So I know you're getting ready to get married. But what I want you to do is I want you to be better than I am with money. Because if you do what I did, it's not going to go well for you. Stay out of credit card debt if you can. This is a man who is a bishop who's telling me I done messed up in some areas. And what I need you to do is be better than me. And I'm not saying this to brag. Not to brag on me. I'm saying this to brag on my father. I have an 845 credit score, but that's not because of me. It's because I listened to what my dad told me. It was him saying, I didn't defeat this debt enemy. I didn't get a handle on it, but I'm going to empower you to finish the job. And so I'm trying to teach that next generation. And there's some people in here who've come to me and I've told them how to fix their credit, but I'm doing it as a legacy of Bishop Mitchell, because he's saying, I didn't get it all right, but if I can get you to turn the corner, you can be better than I am. Here's the thing, Dad, you ain't got to get it all right. Sometimes tell your child, I didn't do it all right with women. I didn't always make the right decisions. I didn't always use protection when I should have used protection. I didn't always go the right places. But tell them the truth so they can make better choices. Now, here's the thing. His father didn't have enough wisdom to tell him that, but he had enough wisdom to tell me that. Now, if I would have gotten the same situation, it would have been shame on me because I knew better. Yes. See, some of us, we don't do better because we don't know better. But then there's others of us, we know better and we still won't do better. But I want to do better once I know better. So tell the truth. And if I have time, I'll tell you the stuff I still haven't gotten right. I haven't got all things right. Yeah, I'm doing good in the credit area, but I got some other areas that I'm not always together in. And if you listen to me, I'll talk. I'll teach about it. I'll preach about it. I'll be transparent because I want you to go further than I did. That's what a real father does. All right, let's keep on going. 1 Kings 2:7.
But deal loyally with the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For with such loyalty, they met me when I fled from Absalom, your brother.
All right, let's go to number 5, and I'll give us a little context about it, put it up. Godly fathers remind their kids to honor loyalty. Loyalty is very important to me. Somebody asked me, what's more important to you, respect or loyalty? I said loyalty is more important because if you're loyal to me, you won't disrespect me. I don't have to worry about you respecting me if you're loyal to me. So what happened was David had a son named Absalom who turned on him and tried to take the kingdom. And David actually in his later life had to run away from the kingdom. As he's running away from his son who has taken a coup and taken over, these guys, Barzillai and this other fella, gave him sweet comfort while he was on the run. And so David ended up making it back. He ends up overcoming Absalom, and he tells his son Solomon, remember Barzillai and that other fella who took care of me. They were loyal to me, so I want you to take care of those. Here's something we have to understand, this other generation. Be loyal to the folk that was loyal to you. Be loyal to the folk that was loyal to your mama and daddy them. We love to talk about the haters, but we forget to celebrate the loyal folks. Stop worrying so much about the haters and start taking care of the people that were loyal to you and loyal to your family. Let me say something specifically to black folk. Not every white person your family has dealt with was racist. Some of them was good. So be loyal to them. When you have people who have been good to you, you turn around and you repay the favor. Some years ago, we were on strike. And we were on strike at General Motors. Means General Motors was not paying us. And back then, strike pay was $200 a week. And when you're used to making $1,000 plus a week, $200 is not that good. So there were some people struggling, but we've got the plant that I work at, catty corner from us are two gas stations. And these gas stations were coming out while we were on the picket line, and they were giving us drinks for free. And somebody asked, why would you do that? They said, because y'all spend y'all money with us when y'all have money. So now that y'all on strike, we're here showing up. Now that we're not on strike, even though I have stuff from home, sometimes I go in there and just spend money with them, because you was loyal to me when I was going through. So I'm going to be loyal to you when I get a chance. Sometimes you got people that fed you when you was broke, and the first thing you want to do is go to Ruth Chris. Ain't nothing wrong with Ruth Chris, but go back to that person who took care of you and take care of them. Love the folk that was good to you, that was loyal to you, that watched out for you. Don't be so big you forget where you came from. So David said, listen, Solomon, you about to be big and bad and all of that, but there's some folk that took care of me, and I want you to look out for them. Guess what? The reason why I love some of y'all so much is not just because of the love of God, because some of y'all was good to my daddy. Y'all was good to him. Some of y'all, when folk left him and folk talked about him, we start preaching grace and folk ran away from him, and some of y'all kept coming back and kept serving. And now that I'm the pastor, I got the love on y'all because y'all was good to my folk. You got to learn how to love the people that was good to you. Nothing bothers me worse than disloyal people. Be loyal to the ones that was loyal to you. Yeah. That we talk about turning the other cheek. We talk about that too. But the scriptures also talks about celebrating and being loyal to the people who were loyal to you. All right, let's keep on going. 1 Kings 2:8-9. Before I go there, many of you guys know Union Chapel. Union Chapel was probably the largest church in Muncie at one time. That were maybe Glad Tidings has gone up, but about well before I became a pastor. So we're talking about almost 20 years ago. I got an opportunity to be the youth pastor at Union Chapel, and it was going to be enough to get me off of General Motors. They were going to try to pay my salary. I preached there, and a person said, I'm going to see if we can get you a hire there, because I think you would be good. And I thought about it, but I also thought Deliverance Temple been good to me. Bishop Mitchell been good to me. And so I said, you ain't got to worry about me putting an application there. I'm going to stay with my daddy. Now, would it gave me more money? It possibly would have. Maybe my name would have been bigger, but I wouldn't have felt right, because the folk here prayed for me. The folk here covered me. The folk here loved on me. So I said, even though it may look better, sometimes the grass looks greener on the other side till you get to the other side. Sometimes you got to be loyal to the ones you're with. And I'm so glad I stayed where I am. I'm so glad. And maybe I'm still working at General Motors, but it don't make me no never mind, because I got some loyal folk that ride for me, that die for me. I got some loyal folk that come hear me preach every week. I got some loyal folk that some stick some money in my hand every now and then. So I'm going to ride with the ones I got. I'm going to love the one I'm with. I'm going to hold on to the ones I'm with, because loyalty means everything. All right, let's go ahead and do verse 8.
And there is also with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse on the day I went to Mahanaim.
Next verse.
But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword.
Right, last part of the verse.
Now, therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him, and you shall bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol.
All right, let's look at number six. This is the last one, then we're going to do the conclusion. It says this, godly fathers don't have the strength to defeat every generational curse, but they have faith that their children can still do it. Let's give you a little background. So when David, because of what Absalom did, when David had to run, and we literally mean run, he had to run and get out of the kingdom. On his way, there's a guy named Shimei seen David running and started hurling curses at him. Kind of like, nana, nana, boo, boo, who you are? You're the great king. Now you on the run. And he was cursing him. And the people around David said, we ought to just kill him now. And David said, don't worry about him, because it's a possibility. I'm in this situation because God wants me to be. David didn't know whether it was his own sins that brought him this, so he wasn't worried about him. So he runs, and on his way back to the kingdom, he sees this guy again, and he got a different tune, because David did not end up losing the kingdom. He ends up coming back. And so on his way back through, he starts begging David, don't kill me. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for the curses I hurled at him. And the people around David was like, chop his head off. And David said, no, I ain't going to bother him. I ain't going to worry about him. David was tired. And then David said, I promise you, I'm not going to kill you. And David left him alone. That ain't like David. David was a warrior. David chopped your head off. But David, at the end of his life, he said, oh, by the way, Solomon, there was this fella who was cursing me. I promised that I wasn't going to mess with him, but that don't mean you can't do nothing to him. And by the way, his name is Shimei, and he lives at 2700 Westwood. Let me tell you where he lives. I know you're going to do the right thing, Solomon. I know you're going to have enough wisdom, Solomon. Basically, he was letting them know, I don't mind if you take him out. And the revelation I get, there are some generational curses we just didn't have the energy to defeat. I tried it. I tried to conquer lust, Andre, but I didn't always do it right. But that don't mean you can't go after it. That don't mean you can't put the nail in the coffin. That don't mean you can't finish it off. That don't mean you can't destroy it. So this is what I need you to understand. Sometimes our forefathers, they did the best that they could do, but you can go further. Yeah, I dropped out of school in the sixth grade, but that don't mean you can't get your PhD. Go and be all that you can be. That don't mean you can't look at a generational curse in the face and step up beyond it. I'm empowering you to tear up what I couldn't finish off. I'm empowering you to go further, faster than me. I'm empowering you to go higher than me. I'm empowering you to do more. It's okay. I remember my dad coming to me one Sunday, and he would always tell me this. I enjoyed your message, Andre. And sometimes he would call me Pastor Andre, just encouraging me, which is a blessing. But one time I was like, Daddy, I got it all from you anyway. And he said, He said, you're doing more than I've ever done. You see stuff in the scripture that I haven't seen. Your anointing is different than mine. He could have said, yeah, Andre, you got it all for me. But he was saying, no. I'm trying to let you know you're beyond me. I'm trying to let you know I'm pushing you. I'm elevating you up. The reason why I am who I am, because I had a daddy that wasn't jealous of me. Let me talk to you, some of you women. You love your mama, but you could have gone further if your mama wasn't so jealous of you. Every time your shape good, your mama want to say something funny about you. It's bad to have a parent that's jealous of their own children. My daddy was not jealous of my success. He was not jealous of what God was doing. He was trying to encourage me, and I want to encourage you. I don't want to be the best dressed person in my church. I don't want to have the best house in my church. I don't want to have the best car in my church. I'm encouraging you young folk to go further and faster and higher and better than me. If you pull up on the parking lot with a Lamborghini, I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to celebrate with you because I'm encouraging you to defeat stuff that I couldn't defeat. There's some stuff we're too old to fight, but you can fight them for us. Oh, I wish we had a community that wasn't like crabs in a barrel, that wasn't always trying to pull each other down. I wish we had the mentality that we could celebrate each other. I wish we had the mentality like the Korean folk that will come over here and live in the same house and they'll pay that house off, and then the next family will get a house and the next family will get a house. Then they'll buy up all the black hair products and start selling them. They'll work together. But black folk, because we come here through slave ship, all we know how to do is fight and struggle. But it's time for us to come together and break generational curses together and work together. Maybe you're here now. Let me sow into you. Let me pray into you. Let me bless your job so my job will be blessed. And hopefully, Deliverance Temple, we're coming to the place where we're all coming together. When we all get together, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, I don't want to just sing that in funerals. No, let's get together and rejoice right now. I don't need a new car in heaven. I don't need a vacation in heaven. I need that right now. So when you're doing it, I celebrate with you because we're breaking generational curses. Every time you put on a brand new t-shirt, a brand new hoodie, you understand on the tag it says 100% cotton. Before you put it on, you ought to go to celebrating because there was somebody in your ancestry who was beat on their back to pick cotton, and now you're wearing cotton. Now you can wear Gucci and Louis Vuitton. I don't mind you stunting. I don't mind you shining, as long as you know you are finishing what the fathers ahead of you could not do. All right, we go to our conclusion. In our conclusion, just going to lay this out as an acronym. Here's our Godly Father acronym. We'll put it up. Here it is. Faithful, available, teacher, honorable, encourager, and responsible. When you think of Father, I want you to think of it that way. Faithful, available, teacher, honorable, encourager, responsible. We're going to put them all together in some scriptures, and then we'll go on out of here and celebrating fathers, and especially the Heavenly Father. All right, so let's put the first one up. Faithful. The F is for faithful. Let's read Isaiah 38:19. Read that, Mother Mitchell.
The living, he thanks you as I do this day. The Father makes known to the children your faithfulness.
A real father makes known the faithfulness of God to the children. And so we want a faithful father. And here's the thing. You can't talk about God's faithfulness if you're unfaithful. Don't tell me about how faithful God is and you won't go to work. And every day is FMLA. Who are you taking care of? Who's sick? And no, go to work. Get up. Stop scamming the system. Go to work. I don't want to hear about a faithful God and you laying on your backside playing Call of Duty. No, get, if you want to do Call of Duty so much, sign up for the army. Do something and make something out of your life. All right. It's tight, but it's right. Come on. A. Let's go to A. A is available. Sometimes the best thing you can do is be available. I'll go ahead and read this. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Guess what we understand about Jesus? He did not have any physical kids. So what, none of those kids, his kids, but he said, let the kids come. They were trying to stop the kids. I'll keep the kids away from Jesus. Jesus said, bring the babies. Back in the day when we was watching Martin said, Martin love the kids. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus loves the kids. Jesus loves the little children, red and yellow, black and white. So man of God, learn how to be good around children. Let me share something. Women, if you want to see if a man is good, watch how children respond around. When children is always running, always scared, always can't stand, no, stop forcing them men on your children. Because children will tell you something. Children and pets will tell you about folk. Sometimes a pet likes everybody, but he get the barking of that person. Leave that person alone. It's something in their spirit is not right. But those of you who are being godly men, be available. Be available to shake a hand. Be available to pat a little kid on the head. I don't know how many times, not just my daddy, but people in the church would pat me on my head and tell me, "You're doing good, Andre." Oh, it feels good to support. So be available. Make a difference if you can. All right, let's go on to T. T is teacher. Mother Mitchell, would you read this?
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
In other words, be a teacher. Guess what? Growing up, after I got my whoopings, I made up in my mind, I'm going to make sure I'm giving some whoopings out. I done got whoopings in my life. I can't wait to have some kids. Make them go get their own switch. But my wife was a lot softer. And she talking about, you don't have to do all that yelling and whooping. Shoot, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm a disciplinarian. But guess what I found out? You sometimes get more flies with honey than you do with salt. I haven't had to do a whole lot of whooping. And I'm to be honest, I'm let down. I thought I was going to do a more beating than I got the chance to do. But also what I learned is once you mature, you learn there's other ways to get things done. Sometimes you have to instruct and sometimes you have to teach. And let me just go ahead and say something about both of my sons who are working right now. Draylen started working and within a month's time, he's promoted to shift lead within a month's time. Just last week, Dylan is working at the Y, and someone in the Y sends this, they are singing his praises in what he's doing. And I'm learning it's because his daddy taught him. Now I told Draylen, I said, "Aren't you glad for me being hard on you in the media room?" And he's like, "They ain't got nothing to do with it, daddy." I'm like, "Yes, it do." But no, I'm teaching. Here's the thing. Teach. Stop yelling if you haven't taught. Now, it's one thing if you've taught, and they're still doing. Sometimes yelling is okay. Sometimes discipline is okay. But here it says, don't provoke your children to anger, and you haven't taken the time to teach. So a good father is a teacher. Now, here as a preacher, yes, I have a right to come in here and have all these tough, rough messages. Woo, you was tough on sin. I ain't got to be tough on sin on every Sunday because y'all at Deliverance Temple, y'all know the mess y'all in. Sometimes it's not time for me to come beating you up over the head with a bunch of judgment. Sometimes it's trying just teaching you the love of God, and it grows you up. When you have a real good teacher, it grows you up. All right. And those of us who've been through school, we remember the good teachers. All right. Let's go to H. H is honorable. Come on. Be honorable. Be honorable men. Let's look at Proverbs 20:7. Read that.
The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him.
Yes, he's blessed are his children after him because the righteous walk in their integrity. I've been talking about myself, but my siblings who are watching online and my other sibling here, that is Jonathan, they all have been blessed by the legacy of my father because of his honorability, because of his integrity. I have people who've done good things for me just because of my daddy. The ex-mayor Dennis Tyler, I just seen him yesterday at the Juneteenth, and he shook my hand and he says, "I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you're doing. I watch you online. I see how you preach, but it reminds me of your dad." He said, "Oh, I miss Royce. Royce was a good man." He said, "Some of the stuff that's going on in the paper, I wish Royce was still here because he'd fight. He'd make a difference." See, I'm still getting blessed because I had an honorable daddy. I had an honorable father. And some of y'all say, "Well, my daddy wasn't no good." You still got an honorable father called G-O-D. He's the creator of the universe. And because your God is on your side, and let me say it, I ain't said it in a few sermons, if God be for you, who can be against you? You got a reason to celebrate because you got an honorable father, all right? Let's put E. E is what? It's encourager. He is encourager. 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. Read that.
For you know how, like a father with his children.
Verse 12.
We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory.
Now we can go to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I'll read that. It says this: therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. Let me say something. Women are great nurturers. They are great encouragers, but men, it's time for us to be encouragers too. Sometimes men are few in words, but our words make a difference. So men, be encouragers. Don't always point out everything that's wrong. Sometimes encourage people when they're doing something right. Give them their accolades. We all need our flowers while we're still living, and it's nothing like an encouraging man. And ask a woman who's got an encouraging man. They will tell you, I'm telling the T-R-U-T-H. All right. We're closing with R means responsible. Responsible men. Responsible fathers. Look at what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10.
For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat.
Mm-hmm. Want somebody to fix you a plate and you won't work. No, work. Verse 11 says what?
For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies.
Some of y'all, we ain't just talking about the women. We're talking about how women love to gossip. It's some gossiping men. It's some men that'll run their mouth. It's some busybody men. Listen, if you would do more working, you'd have less time to do all that talking. Now, I can almost handle a gossiping woman, but I'm irritated by a gossiping man. Say, it just don't fit right with me. It don't sit. You ain't got nothing better to do than talk about this and that. And ooh, the SWAT was going up and down the street. Stop worrying about the SWAT and worry about your life and make sure your kids is okay. And I'm like the old news. It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? Stop worrying about everybody else. Worry about yourself and be responsible. A responsible man ain't got time to get in a whole bunch of petty foolishness. All right, ain't nobody got time for that. Verse 12. Come on, we got to get on out of here.
Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living.
Let me talk to some of y'all women. My man, he just won't talk. He won't say nothing. He just quiet. That's because he's a working man. And after he done all that working and paid all the bills, he ain't got a whole lot to say. So let him sit and be quiet. Let him enjoy himself. As long as the lights is on when you flip them on, as long as the mortgage is paid, leave that man alone. Let him enjoy himself, because sometimes he done worked himself to the bone so you can have the life that you have, so you can go get your nails done, your feet done, your hair done, and you mad because he don't have a whole soliloquy to talk to you. He's all talked out, but he's bringing home the bacon. Let that man be. Let him enjoy himself. And let me tell you something. Sometimes he don't mind to talk, but the worst time to talk is in the fourth quarter when things are going down. Just be quiet for a moment so he can enjoy the day. Maybe he can talk later, but not now. Let him do his work in quietness. All right. Read on verse 13.
As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good.
Let me talk to you, men. If you get weak from doing good, you a weak man. A real man won't get weary in doing good, even though it hasn't turned around yet. I ain't hit the lottery yet. My business hasn't taken off yet. My children are not where I want them to be yet. But I'm not weary. I'm still doing good. Let me tell you something about Pastor Andre Mitchell. I'm not tired of preaching. I'm not tired of coming to church. I'm not tired of praising the Lord. I'm not weary because I'm doing a work for the Lord. I'm like the men in Nehemiah. I'm standing on the wall. I got one foot on the wall, one foot on the sword. I'm ready to fight the devil for you. I'm ready to fight for Muncie, Indiana. I'm ready to fight for my family. I'm ready to fight for my church. And I ain't tired yet. I got a testimony. I am delivered. I got a testimony. God is on my side. I got a testimony. Money is coming my way. I got a testimony. My children will be saved. I got a testimony. I'm going to keep building and keep vacationing and keep driving good and keep looking good and keep smelling good because I got God on my side. I'm not tired yet, and you not tired yet. That's why you get up every Sunday morning and you come to the house of God. You not tired yet. That's why you get on your knees and you pray every morning. You not tired yet. That's why you keep giving in the offering. You're not tired yet because you're ready to go all the way. I'm not weak. I'm not falling. I'm not folding. I'm a M-A-N, and you are M-A-N, and you are W-O-M-A-N. You a man and a woman of God, and we're not tired. If I was an old singer, I would say, ah, come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. That's why they're going to say, I don't feel no ways tired because I come too far to throw in the towel. Now, last verse, 1 Timothy 5:8, read that.
But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Don't tell me you saved, you a bishop, you a deacon, and your wife can't count on you to pay the bills. Your wife can't count on you to do what you need to do. Now we do live in the era that sometimes the women may make more than the men and may make the same amount as the man, but a real man will find a way to contribute. And here it says, if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. I don't want to hear how many scriptures you know if the folk around you can't count on you for protection and provision. And I'm so grateful for the men of Deliverance Temple. We are protectors. We are providers. And we will go down swinging for our families. And once again, I'll say it from the rooftops. Happy Father's Day to every real man and potential man in this building and watching us online. Come on, let's stand to our feet. We're going to confess the word. We're going to go. And here's our confession. I won't read it first. We'll just do it together right now. Repeat after me. Father God, you are the greatest Father. We thank you for every godly father in our lives. We won't take them for granted, but we will celebrate them not just on Father's Day, but every day. Come on, clap your hands. All right, we're about to go to a time of prayer. While we're out at Juneteenth, we took prayer requests. So I want to lay my hands on these prayer requests. And I'm going to have Draylen come up here. I want him to come. Draylen has been accepted into a six-week theater camp in Michigan. And so this will be his last Sunday. He's supposed to be there next Sunday, and he will be there for 6 weeks. So we're going to lay our hands on him as well. And we're going to pray over all these prayer requests. Would you point your hands this way? I haven't looked and read any of them, so I don't know what's in here other than the prayer requests that I wrote. But Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we call on you as Father, because a real father knows the needs of their children. And so, God, for every need in this basket, for every person who took a time to write these things down, God, we come as a contact point of faith that, God, your Deliverance Temple anointing, the reason why I put it here was so that the spirit of the preaching would get all into every one of these requests. And God, do what needs to be done. Make the ways and do it. And God, let the people know it wasn't Deliverance Temple that did it. It was you that did it. And let you get all the praise because you are the Father. And the scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, the Father of lights. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you point your hands toward Draylen? I'm going to anoint him and lift your hands before the Lord and for the congregation. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, as he's gone for these 6 weeks, God, And as he's chasing the dream that you've gave him, that you put in him, this ability to act and to be in the theater, God, I pray that you would open doors for him and make ways for him. And God, like I preach, let him go further than me, faster than me. Let him go higher than me, but let him represent Deliverance Temple everywhere he goes. And while he's in Michigan, keep him safe from sickness, hurt, harm, and danger. Anoint him to be better than he could be by himself, God. Anoint his mind, anoint his ears, anoint his hands, anoint his feet, anoint his body. And God, we send Deliverance Temple with him. We send the safety of God with him, and all shall be well in Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen. God bless you. All right. Love you. Thank you. All right. Let's do our closing prayer real quick. God, and God bless. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, bless everyone on this Father's Day. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful week. You are dismissed. We love you dearly.